The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Brian Ortega in the chair today. One more morning for Jeff Parlay. Jeff Parlay still feeling under the weather. We hope he gets better. Brian, you good?
Doing good. It's a real pleasure every day to see your face.
Ah, that's very kind of you. Listen, here's the thing. Later on the show, Brian may even have some TV show recommendations for us. We'll get there because Brian, of course, is Mr. Entertainment. Is that what you're known as here, Mr. Entertainment?
I think so. I think I stay up to date on pop culture and Vegas. Vegas is my thing.
Vegas is your thing. Perhaps a podcast in the future. I don't want to say any names because I don't want to like break the news here, but he's working on something. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's in the works for
sure. It's in the works. He just wants to get it perfect. On the show today, a flood of guests. We have flooded the zone with Jake Hahn from Mayo Media Network. We will talk hockey with Jake. John Legesa also on Major League Baseball. Josh Towers. Hey, our buddy Josh Towers. No, don't Josh. He'll show up. We'll talk baseball with him. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Brady Cannon on golf. We'll talk college baseball with Brad Porras. So a whole bunch of folks on the show today. Looking forward to those discussions. Before we get into anything, Brian, will you indulge me if I get into some Gil news? Is that how we should start every show?
I think we should. We
and
have
now
to.
Now for some Gil news. No, so the only reason I do this, and I know it's like, you know, this is not what you tune in for, but last night was my last night on primetime action here on the network, a show that I had done for 2 years with my buddies Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin. And so I just wanted to, because there was some, I'm getting a whole bunch of tweets where like, oh, you're leaving? No, I'm not leaving VSiN. I'm not leaving VSiN at all. Still doing a numbers game. That has not changed. Nor, by the way, has primetime action gone anywhere. They will still do primetime action. And I just wanted to say, though, because I never get a chance to really flesh it out here on this show, so I'm only leaving that show. And the only reason I'm leaving is that I did it for 2 years. And doing two shows for 2 years, as the great Patrick Maher can tell you, as a matter of fact, it's a grind. And at some point, as much as we love what we do, you do sort of lose your life. You become less of a human being, and your work-life balance gets completely thrown out of whack. So that's the only reason I'm leaving that show. Had it not been for Matt and Kelly and Daniele before that, Daniele Alvari, who hosts the LA CityCast now, I would have left a long time ago. But we honestly, and I just want to just pay tribute to those guys, we had a blast for 2 years on that show. We looked forward to coming in every night. Every night when we showed up there, we were happy to hang out with each other. Imagine that, Brian. Dudes who like hanging out with each other in sports betting. Imagine that.
That usually goes good together.
Well, you know, it's just not the greatest corner of the world, typically, in terms of attitudes, right?
It's
but
true.
We just had a ball. And more than that, more than the fact that we had fun, I hope what that show has done over the last 2 years and continues to do now in my absence, which I'm sure it will because Matt and Kelly are there, is we didn't try to be anything we weren't. We didn't try to be expert in sports that we weren't. And we sort of we wanted to open the book on how we thought about sports betting. And that's the one thing that I definitely wanted to say to Matt and Kelly, which I did last night, which is I loved the fact that even though we had disagreements on, you know, on bets, as any sports bettors would, our betting value system, if you will, was very simpatico. We believed in things, the things that we thought were important, we generally believed were important. The things that we thought were actually unimportant, that others make seem perhaps important, whether it's trends or that kind of thing, we were really on the same page with that kind of stuff. And so I hope that that resonated. I hope that that came through over the last 2 years. But again, they will continue with that show. I think here in the short term anyway, Ben Wilson, our very own Ben Wilson, who has graced this desk here over the last couple weeks talking college baseball. Ben will be back here on Friday. He will do a couple nights a week with Matt and Kelly. Wes Reynolds, the glue that holds this whole operation together, Wes Reynolds will do primetime action, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday for two nights. And Jeff Parlay, Brian, Jeff Parlay will do Friday nights short term with the guys. How about that?
I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, but more,
I mean, I've done shows. I've done a 4-hour show by himself. So giving him a co-host It's like a kid in a candy store.
It's again, as I said yesterday when Ben was here, and I was like, Ben, when can you be on the show to talk college baseball? What days work for you this week? And he said, oh, Tuesday and Friday, because I do another show the other days of the week. And then I quickly responded, and I was like, yeah, because anyone who does two shows a day, what a schmuck that guy would be. So I think he saw the joke therein. But anyway, so that's all that's happening. I'm just leaving that show. I'm not leaving a numbers game. I will be here doing this. And so along those lines, and Primetime Action will continue to go, but love those guys. Honestly, if it weren't for Matt and Kelly, I'd have left a long time ago, but we had such a great time. Okay, so bets, college baseball. And I know this has been a thing here on this show where there's got to be a few people listening like, really with the college baseball? Yes, really with the college baseball. If we're trying to make money here, this has been the most consistent moneymaker. And I'm not talking about just having the futures, which I get, maybe you missed the boat on futures. But day in, day out, and I hope you played both mine and Ben's plays yesterday. I had Texas A&M as a dog at plus 124 by the time that game had the first pitch yesterday. Texas A&M was a favorite because their ace, Detmers, was on the hill, and he was spectacular for the Aggies. Aggies get it done. And then Ben Wilson, great reasoning for why he had Arkansas over Auburn. Arkansas crushed Auburn, and Arkansas got the win. So I hope you jumped on those two. So today, there's two more games. Now, again, this is the thing to sort of give context to the college baseball postseason. Regionals, Super Regionals, and Omaha, the World Series, 64-16-8. And now there's four. There's four left. By the way, Brian, I have a Ole Miss future at 100-1. They are the short shot to win it right now, and I have Texas A&M at 40-1 from before the regionals. So this is getting super exciting. But where we are right now is it's not simple enough to call it the final four, even though these are the four remaining teams. And what I mean by that is not all of these four teams are created equal at this point. Ole Miss and Oklahoma are the two teams in the catbird seat, meaning they have to win just one of the next two games, Oklahoma and Ole Miss. Oklahoma against A&M, Ole Miss against Arkansas. Those two squads just need to win one of the next two games to advance to the best of three championship series, which will determine college baseball's national champion. Now, Texas A&M and Arkansas, conversely, those two teams have to win twice in a row over the next two games. They lose today, they're done. And the other team advances. But if they win two in a row, they will advance to the best of three college baseball championship series. So I already have a play again today. And yes, it is on Texas A&M at plus 115. Always shop around for these prices. And now the reason for going with the Aggies here, and we'll talk to Brad Porras about this later, is we're on with Detmers. Detmers was announced as the ace yesterday for the Aggies. And that was a sort of strategic gamble by Texas A&M because they're like, well, let's get this win now. And Detmers, here was the thing. Detmers was their ace all season, took them to the SEC West Championship. But in the regionals and the super regionals, he kind of lost it a bit. There was some notion about a blister, but he was, you know, not himself. Yesterday, he was himself, and he was awesome, and he did the job, and Texas A&M advances with that win yesterday, past Notre Dame. Notre Dame, the team that had beaten the behemoth that was Tennessee. So A&M has gotten to this point now, but your ace is clear now. Detmers is out, and so you won't be able to pitch him either today or tomorrow in these two games against the Sooners. But today is what one would call a bullpen day then, and you're like, wait a minute, but I thought you said if they lose, they're done. That is correct. But in some ways, their bullpen patchwork is as good as Detmers himself. So A&M is the play at plus 115. No disrespect to Oklahoma, which has been great, but if you're giving me the Aggies as a dog again, plus 115 is the play. By the way, no play for Arkansas Ole Miss. I'm just going to ride out the future at 100-1. And Ole Miss has not only not lost here in the College World Series, 2-0, Ole Miss has not lost a game in the postseason, regionals, super regionals, or in Omaha for the College World Series. And keep in mind this story for Ole Miss, 100-1 ticket that is now the short shot. What could go wrong, by the way? Ole Miss got into the round of 64, much like we think of for March Madness, where some teams in the Power 5 conferences kind of get in as an at-large bid because they're a Power 5 and they don't really necessarily deserve it. Ole Miss was kind of that team in college baseball. a lot of controversy to them getting into the round of 64 and the regionals just to begin with. And then in the round of 64, they had to play their regional, their pot of four teams, which only one team came out of to advance to the super regionals. They had to play it in Miami, and there was tropical storm watches in Miami that threatened to scuttle the entire thing. And if that were the case, Miami would have advanced automatically out of that region, the University of Miami. So they were able to get through that by weather luck, if you will, as well. Because Miami, the University of Miami, was perfectly content not playing those games and advancing. So Ole Miss, controversially in it, quite frankly, got through the tropical storm, haven't lost a game. And here they are now from 100 to one shot to the short shot. But I'm not playing anything in that game. We'll find out later if Brad Porras has anything in that ballgame. That's the second one. First one this morning, though, again, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. I am on A&M against Oklahoma. Remember, A&M must win not only today, but the next game against Oklahoma to advance. And if the best scenario for me, Brian, would be if A&M can face Ole Miss in the best of three championship. If that's the case, I can't lose with a 40-1 or a 100-1. It just becomes a rooting from which is the case. Which one would give me more money, obviously, which would be the Ole Miss one. But first things first, today's games. Oklahoma wins, Ole Miss wins. Again, just to repeat the format, there's no more but the best of three. Oklahoma and Ole Miss will advance right to the best of three championship series. We'll talk Wimbledon odds a little later on the show. We'll take a look at those. We do have a special Wimbledon podcast on Friday, the Beating the Book podcast. It's another thing. I'll be able to do more Beating the Book episodes. How about that? Dan Weston, Drew Dinsick, and I will talk Wimbledon on Friday, the podcast. John Legaisa next, though, on Major League Baseball. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes, and then you start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's that simple. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? As always, call 1-800-522-4700. He does Cork Stats over at the Mayo Media Network. He also writes for The Athletic. Ladies and gentlemen, he's everywhere these days. He's John Legaisa. How you doing, John?
What's up, man? Yeah, I guess I'm kind of ubiquitous right now. All you have to do to find me is just open your ears.
It's like, is that John? I think I hear John over there. So
from across the coast.
Before we get into anything specific, you and I were texting back and forth without like being sort of like detailed on this. You thought you had uncovered something in terms of, hey, they're not showing money lines at the same times as the same screens as run lines on a first five. But we have dispelled that, right? That was just a timing thing, we think.
Well, unless you pulled some strings, what we were getting at, everyone, is, and it really comes down to something we always speak about, which is maximizing price to find value. And especially for baseball betting, it's very important to understand the disparity between the money line and the run line whenever placing a bet. Before you place a baseball bet, you should always at least understand and identify it. And certain books are not putting the run line and the money line on the same page, was something I mentioned to Gil at a pretty notable book. Then the next day we woke up and it was there. So I was joking that he was probably on the horn, you know, pulling strings. Lest somebody wake up with a horse head in their bed in the morning.
I wish I had that kind of pull, John. Okay. So you also mentioning now here just before the show, like, you know, you're a pitching guy. But you've had to sort of change your behavior, which I guess gets to the broader question before you even get to that, which is the always changing baseball itself or what they're doing to the baseball. You know, I don't know how you keep up with this anymore. Or have you found it frustrating to try to just isolate the general run environment?
Yes, it's infinitely frustrating, but it's also being equally applied. So everyone is dealing with the same problem. We're all trying to build a boat in the middle of the ocean. Those of us, you mentioned the F word, flexible. I like to use the M word for malleability. To me, that has been the key to my success throughout my entire career. I don't want to say I was the first. I obviously didn't invent F5 betting. But once I eliminated that variable, I pushed that to the fore. That type of betting has become prominent, and it was successful. So I don't mind bucking general trends. As you mentioned, I was a pitching guy early in the season. Pitching was dominant. Analysis was paramount, and we were doing excellent. You and I talked about the moving of the fulcrum as the totals moved, the average total was moving. Why? The run environment was changing. And right now, pitching is more of a way to avoid a landmine, I think, than look to suppress offense. So I've been looking towards offensive bets. Again, something I mentioned to you, I don't want to keep going on and on, but it really does matter, this malleability. Anyone that's followed my work knows I used to never, ever post over-unders. And I know people going, wow, that's so popular. Yeah, not for me, because they're always listed at minus 110 for a reason. There is no edge to be had. The books make their money on volume, vigged on both sides. This is evidenced everywhere you see across major sports. So I, looking for edge, would get away from that. Now, we've got to be getting with totals. The thing I've really gotten into, again, trying to lean on my strengths, because I think specialization of trade is very important, using this kind of granular pitching analysis that I do towards these total base props, which right now I think are not only mispriced, but are probably going to end up, in my opinion, the same way F5 ended up being very prominent. I believe these will be very prominent. And again, not to toot my own horn, but I would like to put one gold star on my big nose, because we have achieved insane amounts of CLV. And again, you and I, again, have spoke about the value of CLV. So I'm not trying to make it as a definition of edge. But one thing it is definitive of is price. So meaning whenever we are able to beat the market on an app, I'm not exaggerating, and I got the receipts, man. When you talk this much smack, you have to back it up, right? 25, 35 cents on every play, every day. That's where you want to be, because it helps lower that win percentage needed. So in 6 million words or less, there's my take on being malleable.
When you say 25, 35 cents, what's your average? You're not averaging beating it 25, 35 cents a day, are you?
I'm going to have to start calculating it. We really just started pushing these to the fore. And I, as a handicapper, I really try and be beyond transparent. Meaning when I post my daily picks, Gil, I take the current price, not the first price that I got in the morning and I leave subs and followers out to dry. I take the current price. But given these movements, I'm just imploring people to get on them in the morning, because we're talking, again, every play. You want to do the first one right now?
Yes.
I'm going to put as close to a guarantee on it. Let's do the first one right now. It's Mike Trout is listed against Daniel Lynch at plus 110 for over 1.5 total bases. Take this one to the bank. It's going to be minus 110, minus 15. Come first pitch. There's your 25 cents. Daniel Lynch, 5.20 ERA, 1.5 WHIP, 800 OPS. But even worse, he's very inefficient. The walk rate over 10, the foul ball rate, which again, very sharp people are getting on. We know with the limited workload for pitching now, every pitch, Gil, let's say call it 100 pitches, every pitch is 1% of workload. The batter that gets up there and starts fouling balls off, he's really taxing the game. 22% foul ball, 44 fly ball, 47 hard hit. And Mike Trout is slaughtering left-handers this year. 23% barrel, 16% blast. This is year-to-date, 1,100 OPS year-to-date, 500X WOBA year-to-date, 4 home runs. And more importantly, as we get into these total base props, the thing that I like to do is talk about sustainability. We want to be looking at ISO. ISO is a measure of extra bases, really. It's isolated slugging, but 316 ISO means Mike Trout gets an extra base hit 31.6% of the time. If we're going to get four at-bats, how about even three against Lynch? The odds are in our favor. This one shouldn't be plus 110. And again, Trout's going to get on the first top third of the lineup. He's going to get the extra plate appearance against a bad bullpen. Look for a 20 to 30 cent move on this one for sure. Mike Trout's not going to be plus money. Come first pitch, put it in the books.
And that's over 1.5 total bases, just to clarify.
Yeah.
You mentioned 22% foul ball rate. What is an average foul ball rate for a pitcher, for a starting pitcher?
You want to be below 20, probably around like 8.5. Gosh, Gil, I really got to thank you, because context is key. And sometimes even myself, as I add to the analysis, I left a blind spot there. So really, thank you. But what really, when you think about 22% or higher than that, nearly a quarter of those pitches getting fouled off, that's unacceptable, especially in those two strike counts.
You have one more total base prop, and we love this because this we have for 2 years now. We've called this guy the official baseball player of primetime action.
Oh, yes. I love Ryan Mountcastle. Again, plus money, over 1.5 total bases against Patrick Corbin. Nefarious gas can. 7 ERA, 1.8 whip, last 7 times out. Single-digit K minus walk. 2.5 home runs per 9 in that span. Across the entire arsenal, he has a minimum 490 expected slug and a plus 630 X-slug on his fastball and sinker combination, where we're going to be looking to capitalize with Ryan Mountcastle. His last 30 plate appearances against lefties, he has a 444 batting average, 1,100 OPS, 2 home runs, and of course, that all-important isolated slugging. Not going to leave you out to dry. 33% ISO, his last 30 batted ball events, 22% barrel, 11 blast, a nearly 600 expected wOBA on contact. Again, we're going to get the extra plate appearance. Washington bullpen has been bad. Give me Mountcastle over this one. I actually think we might get this one first at bat.
Nefarious gas can, Patrick Corbin. I'd like to interview him. But, you know, John Legesa called you a nefarious gas can. He'd be like, who's a John Legesa? All right, you have what you, besides the two props there on Trout and Mountcastle, you do have a first five play, do you have?
Yeah, but it's coming with the preface. And again, why I enjoy connecting with you so much, Gil, is the theory that comes with it. Anybody could get a play. Who cares about the outcome? I know bet enough to let it affect me. But the thing that I'm on, and this is what I was mentioning before, malleability, is I'm over Yankees and Rays F5, 3.5. My model is screaming over. When the model has screamed over this year, I am just playing it. And the reason I'm saying it with this inflection is because I normally would see Jordan Montgomery, Shane Baz, and not even think about playing it over. But Montgomery's given up 2 or more runs 9 times. He is a professional pitcher. We are talking about having to suppress the Yankee offense. And then, of course, getting that fourth run for a cash. I'm going for it. I know the Rays offense has struggled, but that's actually the weaker side of that matrix. We just need the Yankees to get 2 or 3 off Boz. The Yankees have been getting 2 or 3 off everyone. So I'm going to trust the model. I'm going to trust the offense. And coming from Wall Street, the trend being our friend, and go over 3.5 first five Yankees Rays.
Okay, over 3.5 Yankees Rays first five. Yankees who have lost 2 of 3, by the way. What's happening? Oh, my God.
Oh, it's over. It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
And then the two.
Trade Aaron Judge.
And then the two total base props again. Mountcastle and Trout.
Yes.
Two big names in baseball. Don't sleep. Ryan Mountcastle, that's for sure. John, always appreciate it. At MLB. At MLB Moving Average. At MLB Moving AVG for all of John's stuff. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man.
John Legesa from Mayo Media Network and The Athletic. We'll come back. Jake Hahn on the Stanley Cup game number 4 tonight. Next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today and you'll get VSiN's daily best bets. That would include Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features the daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it. The cost is only $19. That's it, $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Brian, by the way, can I pull a little fast one on you here? We talked extensively yesterday about Paolo Banchero and how, you know, with Drew we talked about, and so first of all, I came on here Monday, and I gave a passionate speech as to why I thought it was ridiculous that Paolo Banchero was anywhere between 9-1 or 12-1 at that point. And I was just talking about it from a basketball perspective. It's, you know, the clip is out there. And how I just didn't make any sense to me why he had those long odds. And now we talked to Drew Dinsick yesterday. He was thinking the same thing. People were betting into this. Like, none of us know. Let me just preface it again. None of us have any idea if Paolo Banchero is going to go first. I swear I don't know. None of us know. In fact, he might not. I just want to again point out, though, the difference between what is a sensible bet, whether it gets home or not. So in the end, like, Paolo Banchero, by the way, is south of $2 at Will Hill. Like, he's like plus 175 over there now.
Wow.
BetMGM, though, outside of Nevada, because, again, there's only There's literally only two places now in town. William Hill, and I think the Westgate finally put up number one as well. But nobody else has anything on the NBA draft in the state of Nevada. So for those of you who can bet it at DraftKings, at BetMGM outside of the state of Nevada, Jabari Smith is minus 250. Paolo Banchero is plus 240. That's pretty much where you'll find Banchero's number right about now. And Chet Holmgren to be the number one pick in the draft. Now we're talking 4-1. So that's essentially where it is right now. And Drew was on Primetime Action, Drew Dinsick, last night, and I think he said it best. The next move we see, the draft is tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. The next move we see in this market is the correct move, right? That's the one that will actually tell us who will be the number one pick of the draft. But hope everybody has big, fat tickets on Banchero just to make it interesting for tomorrow in case it does get home. Let's talk Stanley Cup Finals, game number 4 tonight back in Tampa. Jake Hahn from Mayo Media Network joins us at J-Hahn 4, the number 4. And Jake, we have ourselves a series, I think, yes?
Yes, I believe we do. And it's so much better to come on and talk this game 4 with you, Gil, when it's 2-1
sure
instead
is.
Of 3-0. You know, obviously, if you're an Avs fan, you were rooting for them to go up 3-0 the other night. But anything outside of a Colorado fan, if you're obviously a Tampa fan, or if you're just a general NHL fan, or if you're just someone that likes to bet on the sport, you want to see 2-1. Let's get this thing going into next week, see if we can extend this thing to at least 6 or 7. So I'm really looking forward to tonight's game.
All right, so the big question is, what is Colorado going to do in goal? What should they do in goal, in your opinion?
I believe they should go back to Darcy Kemper here. Now, in saying that, I don't necessarily trust Darcy Kemper. I never have, and I have pointed that out as a weak spot for Colorado many times throughout the course of the playoffs. The thing for Colorado is they're so good, and they possess the puck so well, and they dominate shots on goal and puck possession that sometimes the goaltending doesn't even matter for them. They're just that good. Now, Tampa was finally able to expose that weakness in Game 3, which they weren't able to do in Game 1 and 2. They just never tested Darcy Kemper. Colorado basically skated them off the sheet in the games in Colorado. So Tampa was able to at least get a little bit more puck possession, some more chances, some quality chances for once. And the Avs goaltending didn't pass the test. So if I'm Colorado, I go back to Darcy Kemper here. I don't hit the panic button. You're still up 2-1 in this series. You're a road win away tonight from taking complete control and bringing this thing back to Colorado with the cup in the building on Friday night. So that's how I would play it. Reading in quotes from Jared Bednar, it feels like he's going to go with Darcy Kemper, but I guess there's always that possibility that he throws us a curveball tonight.
Yeah, feels that way. I'm with you on that. By the way, if you're just a casual hockey fan out there, if you can't appreciate what this is right now, heading into Game 4, a 2-1 series between a team that's trying to three-peat and another that's trying to win their first since 2001 and has really flirted with it, or should have been, according to many pundits, flirting with it over the last couple years. Man, I don't know how if you have a pulse on this. This game 4 is a coin flip. The total remains at 6. We've seen 3 overs already in this series. Do you think that that's just random that it was 3 overs, or do you think that's actually something we should take note of and that there's a bet that follows that?
Yeah, I think there's something to it. And I was really curious where the total was going to go in this series, because we saw game 1 open with the flat 6, like you mentioned, and we've had 3 overs and it really hasn't budged. Honestly, if you look at the odds right now, and it depends on where you look, I'm seeing the over 6 tonight rated even money, and the under 6 actually shaded at about minus 120. So you're actually getting, I think, a little bit of value with the over tonight. And the reason why I still like the over, and I still think we could get a high scoring game, I just talked about the Avs inefficiencies between the pipes. So whether they do go with Kemper tonight or whether they go to Pavel Francouz, I think Tampa has a decided edge in that department, and they can score on Colorado if they're able to get those chances. And we know what the Avs can do offensively. Even though they lost the game on Monday to Tampa and they only scored a couple of goals, they had north of 35 shots in that game, and they were testing Vasilevsky, and he had to make some acrobatic saves just to keep that to 2 goals. So it easily could have been 3-4, maybe even 5 for Colorado in that game. They pushed the pace offensively. I'm looking at another over tonight, Gil. I think a flat 6 is a pretty fair number as well.
Boy, game two, it was a free roll halfway through the hockey game for the overs, and it got there once again. So, okay, still a couple more questions. One, then, the series price. I always ask you, obviously, about the adjusted series price. Tampa Bay down 2-1, plus 240-ish, pretty much right where they were down 1-0 in the series as well. Plus 250, actually, to be exact, is what we're showing consensus at VSiN.com. Any desire to take that? I mean, how do you feel about this long-term beyond tonight?
Yeah, personally, it's not going to be for me. I already have the Tampa Cup future, so I'm not going to be doubling down on the plus 250. But I think it's a pretty fair number. Like, if you don't have exposure to Tampa already and you feel like this is the classic story that we see with Tampa all the time, they start these series slow and then they sink their teeth into it. They make their adjustments. They watch the tape. They figure these teams out. So if you believe in that narrative and you think that that's the way this series is playing out, I think plus 250 for the two-time champions in Tampa Bay is a pretty fair number. Obviously, the problem is they lose tonight's game, and yeah, you would get a much bigger number going into Friday in Colorado. And they still have to prove to me and prove to the rest of us that they can win a game in Colorado. I mean, you saw those games, Gil. They did take the first one to overtime, but they really had no business doing it. Colorado was clearly the better team in both of those games, blew them out 7-0 in one game as well. So they're still going to have to figure that out, winning in Colorado. But I do think plus 250 is a pretty fair number for a team like Tampa Bay that's shown us many times in the past that they're able to make these mid-series adjustments.
I was going
to
say, Lord knows if there's a team that figures it out, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning year after year here these last few years. Okay, and so then there's Conn Smythe, which we've talked about a number of times, but I want to bring it up again because of the high scoring, right? We had sort of had the conversation where it's like, okay, even when they were down 1-0, I can't remember exactly where you and I talked before, but it's like, okay, if you still have conviction on the Lightning, Andrei Vasilevskiy is still probably the guy. He was hovering around, I mean, at 1.4-1, then it got up to 6-1, and now here we are down 2-1. He's back down to plus 380. But let me just ask you this, Jake. Because of the high-scoring nature of this, now, obviously, if Tampa Bay comes back and wins it, the assumption is, you know what they say about assuming, the assumption is that Vasilevskiy will play well. But let's just say they win the series but do so in these high-scoring games. He then doesn't really become a virtual lock to win Conn Smythe if Tampa Bay gets there, right?
I think you're onto something there completely. And the way that this series has gone so far, I don't want to say it takes Vasilevskiy out of the picture, because as you look on the odds board, he's still the favorite amongst Tampa Bay Lightning players. And he probably should be based on his body of work leading up to the Stanley Cup final, but he hasn't exactly been amazing. He did play a great game in game number 3. I mentioned this player last week for Tampa Bay, and the odds have actually grown, probably just because Tampa's down in this series and they're losing 2-1. But keep an eye on Steven Stamkos. He scored a big goal. He had another assist in the last game. Kucherov is banged up. I think he's going to play tonight. He should be good to go, but he did pick up an injury late in that game. Braden Point's obviously out as well for Tampa Bay. They're starting to accumulate some injuries from their top players. It might just be last man standing up there for Steven Stamkos, and also a bit of that lifetime achievement award for him. Everybody loves Stamkos. He battled some terrible injuries to get back to a very high level that he's playing at right now. So Stamkos at 25-1, if you feel like Tampa Bay can come back and win this series, I actually think that's a great number, and it's grown from around 13-14-1 from last week.
That'd be a nice fun bet to have to live through as well. Yeah. And then if Colorado does take this home, Cale Makar is still the favorite, but he's not as big of a favorite as he was. Is there an opening for somebody else, or are you still going with him?
Yeah, I'm still going with him. We've talked about this throughout the playoffs, and at one point he was around plus 500, plus 550, and that's where you really had the value with Cale Makar. So to me, that's gone now. But if you want to look in other routes, there. I mean, this is a recency bias award. Sometimes it comes down to who has that big game in a closeout game, and they'll just give it to that player. So I wouldn't rule out a Nathan MacKinnon. Mikko Rantanen's putting up some big numbers as well, but I think MacKinnon's probably blocking him a little bit amongst those forwards. So MacKinnon at plus 450, I think if you're looking for true value on the Colorado side, that's probably the play, because Makar is long gone at this point.
Jake, you're awesome. It would not shock me if we're talking about a Game 7, you and I, next week here on the show.
I hope so. I hope I'm back here talking about a Game 7, Gil.
I would love that. I would absolutely love
that.
Keep giving us content, hockey. Keep giving us content. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it, man.
Great stuff, Gil. Have a nice day. Enjoy the game.
You too. Jake Hahn at jhahn4, H-A-H-N, on Twitter. Our own Josh Towers stops in next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code VSiN200 and win $200 in free bets. When you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome, enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Eligibility restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada and Mississippi. It's Gil Alexander, Brian Ortega in for Jeff Parlay this morning. Jeff Parlay is still under the weather. Jeff thinks he'll be back tomorrow, but we shall see. Brian doing a yeoman's job. Yeoman's job. You must apologize for the Max Homa misinformation yesterday, though. Max Homa is still on the PGA
still
Tour.
Still on the PGA Tour. Threw me off a bit.
Yeah. We'd like to have that one back. Other than that, though, unscathed, Brian. Brian Ortega's TV recommendations coming up later.
Oh, I'm jacked up about it.
I'm jacked up about it because now I have some time to actually, you know, watch TV.
We got some doozies for you. We got some that, like, have multiple seasons. We have a miniseries. Oh, we got a lot of good stuff I think you're going to enjoy.
Mr. Entertainment, Brian Ortega. Is that what we're going with? What was the thing yesterday that they called you?
They call me whatever they want. That's basically it. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a regular at this network, former Major League Baseball player, and again, among his career accomplishments, giving up Barry Lamar Bond's 747th ding-dong, it's Josh Towers. How you doing, Josh?
It still doesn't mean that's your favorite thing about me, is that I gave up a home run to Barry Bonds.
Listen, if I gave up 747th homer to Bonds, I would wear it so proudly. I'd be like, man, he really took me deep.
Giving up homers is not very fun. A, what producer number is Brian Ortega?
Brian Ortega is not a producer number because you have to be a producer for at least 3 months to be a producer number.
Oh, got you. Okay.
Yeah, but thank you for asking. Thank you. I know because you you take copious notes on this kind of thing. By the way, I also want to bring up something too, and you may hate me for bringing this up, but are you still watching 90 Day Fiance, Josh? Is that still your thing?
Yes, I do. They're starting to put on too many shows and they're starting to run together, but yeah, no, I still watch it. I need to get some better characters like Big Ed and some people from the past, but
Big Ed.
Yeah, I like it.
So don't feel embarrassed. Jason Weingarten and I watch it too. The only thing is once we were watching I was watching an old, the cast members were like reading fan tweets and Big Ed, Ed and Shoulders, goes, this is from a Josh Towers. And I'm like, what? So I text Josh. I'm like, Josh, you watch 90 Day? He goes, yeah, but don't tell anybody. It's like, well, I think Big Ed just told the world. All right, Josh, I'm curious. You have better insight into pitchers than anyone around here. And I want to get into AL Cy Young and NL Cy Young markets with you right now. As you go to the AL, and we'll show the numbers on all these guys. But who do you like right now? Because it's not a, it's certainly not a definitive choice here. Who would you bet?
Hey, I don't like to brag too much. Sports betting is such a difficult thing. But man, was I spot on about Nestor Cortez yesterday? You got to cross out guys like that. Like, you know, like he's having a great season. But I told those guys on air, I was like, it doesn't sound stupid, but you see how he's mic'd up every day, and now he's the face of the Yankees. He's doing stuff he's never done before. All a distraction. Then he goes out there and, you know, has a bad day yesterday. You got to cross out Shane McClanahan, and I don't mean any disrespect. I'm in love with this kid and the way he pitches. He's phenomenal. I personally don't think Kevin Cash is going to let him go 6-7 all year. Mm. I think at some point they're going to back him off. They're going to try to protect him. If any count's going to come down, I don't think he could do enough in 4 months-ish, 4.5 months to win the Cy Young, my personal opinion. This race is kind of up in the air. I mean, obviously, Verlander knows how to finish a season, and I think that's very important. Dylan Cease, for me, is having a good season. He's too up and down. We might get a sneaky, like, Robbie Ray from last year in this thing, but I guess it's the same thing with Gerrit Cole. I mean, he's phenomenal most of the time, didn't give up eight.
I was going to ask you about Gerrit Cole because it's one of these things where we thought of Gerrit Cole as this ace, and then because of what went down last year and the crackdown, let's say, on what pitchers could do with the baseball. Remember, he was the most vocal. He was out there, and people took it as kind of whiny. Remember, that was the first sort of impression of it. And Gerrit Cole is 8-1, and he's just sitting out there. That's not a good bet.
Yeah, right. I think it's I do think it's a good bet. Again, you got to understand, man, we saw it last year with Bryce Harper, right? What was his offseason goal with Paul Sewell the year before? Was how do we get stronger as the season ends? How do we not fade, but we get better? And look what Paul Sewell did. He had an amazing year in Seattle as a reliever, and now he's a solidified big leaguer, and Bryce Harper wins the MVP. Like, you got to understand, as veterans, we know how to finish what we started. We don't taper and get tired 7 to 8 months into a year-round season for us. And so, again, with these young kids, it's very rare that they'll do it. Manoah's got a lot to learn, but he looks amazing, right? So I think when I look at all this, you know, inning count is a big deal, and strikeouts become a big deal to these voters for whatever reason. Wins in this day and age, you don't get as many wins as you used to because of that. The way we get pulled for relievers. So I think Gerrit Cole, like, yeah, like, he sure, he throws out some big numbers out now and again, but then he goes 8 scoreless on no hits and strikes out 12, and then he pads the stats, right? So, yeah, I think 8-1 is a great bet. We didn't get that pre-flop.
Gerrit Cole, who got into the eighth inning with a no-hitter the other night. Let's go to the National League, Josh, if you will. National League is also very...
There's only one guy.
Only one guy. Who's your guy?
One guy. It's Alcantara.
Would you bet him at plus 275 if someone were landing on it right now, or is that too short?
That's the only issue, right? I mean, pre-flop, we probably had a better number, complete opposite of the American League. That's tough. Like, that's such a low number. But, I mean, again, he's at 99 innings. So if we go back to just all of Major League Baseball and we go innings count, like, the next closest guy is Nola at 89, and we know he's not in the mix. And then we got Miles Michaelis. He's having a good season, the 4-4 and 5-5. Probably not going to get done at 88 innings. Like, he has such a leg up on innings. The only thing with Sandy is the 90 strikeouts to 99 innings. But, like, the guy he's got a 172. He's 7-2 on the Marlins, and he goes 8 innings every start. Like, he's gotten better and better every year that we've seen him. If it ended today, it's definitely him. So he's my favorite going in. But, again, we got a lot of baseball left.
Yeah, well, let me ask you just about a guy like Tony Gonsolin, who's 9-0 now. 9-0, yeah. He's at 20-1, obviously playing for one of the marquee teams in baseball, if not the most marquee, in the Dodgers. And so I'm just curious, you haven't pitched at the major league level in a while, but you certainly were coaching here in the last couple years. So you are tapped in to how, you know, the buzz around the league. And I'm just curious, do wins and losses, this is just for me, do pitchers care much more about that stuff than the media now does?
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it emotionally, but, like, it's all we think about when we go to the field. And it's great to go 7 innings and 2 runs and our team wins. It really is. You feel pretty good about yourself. But there's something about you getting that win that's completely different. Like, you really feel like you did your job. Like, that's our ultimate goal. But when it comes to the long-term mental evaluation of what we're trying to accomplish and trying to get paid, like, we want innings and quality starts. Like, we want things that I can control, no walks, giving my team a chance. Like, that becomes the payday thing that we think about. But selfishly, like, wins are the biggest thing that we think about because it's the first thing that pops up on every status, the first thing you see on the scoreboard when you're playing catch and your name's going across the marquee. Like, it's a big deal to us. I mean, look, listen, and other teams need to take notes, right? The Dodgers are one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball. They got a lot of injuries. People are down. And they got Tony Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson, who nobody counted on, at 17-0 with maybe a two even ERA combined. Like, these two guys are amazing. Listen, Tony Gonsolin, look at his career stats. He can pitch. This guy's pitched at every level. He's been legit at every level. The only reason I say at this point it's hard for him is because he has 30 less innings and 30 less strikeouts than anybody else in the National League who's leading that charge, right? That's a massive, massive thing. But this guy goes 22-0. Like, how do you hide that? How do you not give it to him, even considering the innings and count down? I mean, but so 35 hits and 68 innings, like, this kid's doing it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to get at. Again, I'm just trying to, like, you know, look at every possible angle on this. Last year, Julio Urías went 20-3. And didn't even sniff it, right? He was tied for 7th in NL Cy Young voting. So, like, 20-3 won't cut it. 22-0, which is what you threw out. Now, that's a whole different subject. You almost have to give it to him at that point. One last thing on this.
So, real quick.
Yeah.
So, if we're talking about Gonsolin, then is Musgrove not the favorite over Gonsolin right now? At 8-0 with a 1.59, 79 innings compared to 68, 81 strikeouts compared to 64. Like,
yeah, Musgrove is
the
second.
You can give it to Joe over Tony.
Only Alcantara is shorter than Musgrove. Yeah, Musgrove's plus 425. Alcantara is plus 270.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah. But Gonsolin's 20-1.
What do you think Tony was at, Gonsolin?
20-1.
That's worth a stab. Yeah.
Okay, and then the last thing. If Jacob deGrom showed up tomorrow, is it still too late for him to win this?
Where are we at? Yeah, April, May, June. Yeah, you can't do it in 3 months.
Can't do it. Okay.
All right. Josh, impossible. Yeah, I can't give it to him.
Josh Towers, everybody, at No Don't Josh is where you can find him on the Twitter machine. Or, you know, maybe go to 90 Day Fiancé shows and he'll show up there too. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
Later, buddy.
Josh Towers, everybody. Best golfer at VSiN 2, I'm told. There was a VSiN Invitational. Josh Towers may win it. Some might have something to say about that, but my money's on Josh. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten on baseball, Major League Baseball. Brad Porras on college baseball. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.